Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word, hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. Give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me and the program. You can also listen to past programs there. I currently have that up to date through this past Friday on our Friday afternoon program. If you're not aware, we're on every Friday afternoon on this station from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And I discussed the presidential debate of last Thursday, and I'm going to touch on some of those things again at some point here, probably tonight as well, and perhaps some other thoughts and information I've had since then. But so my analysis, my review, or whatever thoughts on the presidential debate last Thursday, you can hear them at livewithpastoral.com. Just go down on the right hand side under the Friday programs, Friday, June 28th, and you can listen to that program there. And of course, hopefully tonight we'll be talking about it some more. And we've got a number of other things to talk about as well this evening, so I hope you'll stick with us, not the least of which is coming up this Thursday. It's July 4th, Independence Day. And so we may chat about that a little bit. And I'm hoping to spend some more time on that, of course, coming up on this coming Friday, July the 5th. So we've got that coming up this week. And let's see, what else did I want to mention here? Also, if you go to Late Night Live, or I'm sorry, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can read some articles that I have there. You can link to some other things that I have on that and some other things that I've got mentioned there. In addition to that, you can find out some of the social media platforms that we're on, everything from Facebook to Twitter, or X as it's called now, USA.life, MeWe, Minds, Telegram, True Social, Cloud Hub, I think Gab, Getter, a number of ones that are on there. You can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we'll have more information about our church. That's the main sponsor of the program here tonight. And we'll have more information about that through the program this evening. But certainly invite you to come out and visit. And as I told somebody again recently, I've mentioned this many times, and it came true once more. Not too long ago, somebody was looking for our church, and they were looking for a building with a steeple, and they were having trouble finding us. And then they had called, and somebody said, "No, you're in the right spot. We meet in a commercial strip, so that if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. But if you're looking for a place in a commercial strip, you can find the Richfield Bible Baptist Church at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road. That's State Route 176, and that's in Richfield, Ohio. We're in Suite 200, and we're right basically where Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road intersect, near the intersection of 271 and 77, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And you can find us pretty easily. Just don't look for a building with a steeple. Just look for our door for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And we'd love to have you visit us sometime. More information will be given on that in our services, especially our Friday night Bible study. If you just want to give us a try on a Friday night, every Friday night from 7 to 9, we have an informal Bible study. We can talk about just about anything there, and people bring the questions, and we talk about things and questions and current events in light of God's Word. That's actually where the program came from originally. It started with our Friday night Bible study. So invite you to come out for that. But check us out online live at PastorAl.com, and let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, all things, Lord, and we just pray that you would just we bring glory to you, that you would use it for your purpose, for your work, and just bless this evening. For again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, we had the historic debate, this presidential debate this past Thursday, and then, of course, the 4th of July, Independence Day, coming up this coming Thursday, so we're right in between the two there, and, of course, there's other things happening in the world. It looks like, last I heard, that the conservative Le Pen has crushed Macron in France, just literally crushing them. I saw some pictures earlier today where people in Paris, business owners, were boarding up their businesses, their shops, putting boards over the windows. You'd think a hurricane was coming. They were doing it because they expected the conservatives to win, not that they expected the conservatives to riot in the streets and break their buildings, their windows, and loot and cause destruction. They're doing it because they expected the conservatives are going to win, so the leftist Antifa groups — Antifa is not unique to the United States, they're all tied together on a global scale — they were expecting Antifa and other leftist groups to riot in the streets and destroy and loot buildings, businesses in France, after it became apparent that Macron is being crushed in the polls. And it is kind of interesting. You see a more conservative populist sort of candidate and party pulling ahead. Same thing's happening over in Britain, I guess. The conservative party has almost become indistinguishable lately, it seems like, from the more leftist Tory party. And I'm trying to think of what the name of the party is, but there's another party there that seems to be gaining. They're more of a conservative populist party, and it's largely a kind of conservative populism that Donald Trump has promoted, and it's taking hold in various places around the world, South America, Europe, and different places. And so we'll have to wait and see what's happening, but continue to pray for our country. If you watched that debate on Thursday night, you know that we need a lot of prayer. But again, we'll get back to that probably at a later point. But in the meanwhile, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got Nancy, who is first calling in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for welcoming me to your program.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. We all know that President, and I use that term lightly, President Biden has allowed millions of people across the border, and I couldn't find anything in the Bible to say that it is scriptural for a country to have borders. Now, I went to this one search engine, and they said Romans 13:1. Proved it, but I couldn't figure out why. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And we know that Biden, somebody's pulling his strings. We don't know if it's the Clintons or the Obamas or who it is. But I thought it was interesting, after that very interesting debate Thursday night, that CNN sort of trashed Biden, like he needs to be replaced. But then I heard that the Clintons and the Obamas, they want Biden to still be running, I think because they're the ones pulling his strings. Of course, I know I'm talking about several different things here. But do you know of any Bible verses to say that it is scriptural for a country to have borders, which, of course, Biden is really, you know, he's totally obliterated our borders. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you know, you touched on a lot of things there, but borders... borders are absolutely scriptural. Let me start with the bigger picture. There's very absolutely borders between heaven and hell. You know, not everybody's going to get there. When you look at the Bible, there's a definite, in a sense, border guard or security as to who gets into heaven. So there's also a border that keeps people from getting out of hell. So, definitely, if you want to look at it that way, there's definitely borders there. But another thing that leapt to my mind at first was when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the commandments, he was told by God to tell the people not to come near the mountain, lest they die. Mm-hmm. And so the people did not know, you know, exactly where, you know, it's like I went to school out at Colorado State, so I spent several years living on the foothill, you know, right next to the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
Oh,
I was on the plains, so I'd ride my bike, and I'd ride up into the foothills. So you're going from the plains, and eventually you're up in the foothills, you know, headed toward the mountains. And you'd be riding your bike along, and you would realize you had a point where all of a sudden it's going up. But where did the mountain start? Did it start where you noticed it going up, or did it start a little earlier? So what they were instructed to do is put a border around the mountain, a boundary, and they put it where they knew that it was safe. They didn't put it right on the edge. They put it on where they knew it was safe so that they, you know, nobody would inadvertently get too close to the mountain. So there's a border right there. Then, of course, when Israel went into the promised land in the book of Joshua, what do you see them doing? They're going through the land, and they're scoping out the land and describing the land. And they're saying, all right, the area that belongs to the tribe of Judah, here's where their borders are. And it goes from here, and it goes to there, and it goes to there. And for Zebulun, here's where their borders are. And it goes from, the borders are very clearly delineated. And then, as you follow through the old...
Where was that clearly delineated, you said.
Well, I wasn't quoting a verse clearly delineated. I was just summing up the book of Joshua, where it gives you the borders. It tells them how to divide the land. And as you're going through it, let me see here. I just flipped open here at random in Joshua. Here's Joshua chapter 16, and the lot of the children of Joseph. Joshua 16, verse 1, and the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho under the water of Jericho on the east to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along the borders, there's borders right there, of Archi to Adarath, and goeth down westward to the coast of Jephthah, unto the coast of Beth-horon on the nether, and to Gezer, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. Well, there's the border right there. Look at verse 5. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Adaroth Adar, and unto Beth-horon on the upper, and it continues like that. So, I just opened Joshua at random there, and I came out Joshua 16. That's right in the middle of describing the borders of the land, the borders for each tribe. And each family had borders. Remember who was it? King Ahaz wanted the vineyard of Nabob, I think it was. And Nabob said, hey, even if I could or wanted to sell it to you, I can't, because it belongs in my family and my tribe, not you. And and so there were borders that were reflected there. So absolutely borders are in the Bible. I mean, the book of Joshua, mentions all kinds of borders, and there's other things talking about the borders of cities and things like that. So yeah, so borders are absolutely scriptural, and and then in fact, the Bible also talks about different people. And for instance, here in Leviticus, I mean, look here in Leviticus chapter 18, God says this: "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation," that means your own citizens, the Hebrew children, "nor any stranger that sojourneth among you," meaning non-Hebrews, non-citizens of the nation who happen to be living there for a time. Just looking down the next chapter, chapter 19, verse 34, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So he's talking about strangers, meaning non-citizens living in their nation, in the Hebrew nation, and being treated properly. And of course, we're not talking about people who snuck in illegally against the law and all that, because, you know, I am all for immigrants coming into this country. That's what built this country. And but we're talking legal immigrants, people who are here legally, and no problem with that. Those are valued members of our community, legal immigrants. And people say, well, the others didn't break any laws. They just violated the border and came here illegally, which is a law that they broke right there.
Now, is there anything in writing, like in our laws to say that we have borders, which of course Biden is breaking? Is there anything in the Constitution or borders and people shouldn't come in?
Yeah, let me see here. I actually carry with me, for just such a reason, a copy of the United States Constitution. And some people think that's odd, but you can get these U.S. Constitutions. Mine that I have here in my hand has the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in it. And I think this was compliments of Hillsdale College. But there's a number then that you can get. I encourage people to get these and carry it around, read it. And you can make marks in it, and you can look at it. It's not the Bible, but hey, it's the fundamental laws of our land. And
little books. But I misplaced them. I need to find them.
But they're easy to get a hold of. You can go online and look at the Constitution, too. And I encourage people. It's not hard to read. In fact, some of it is so obvious that it takes a law degree from Harvard to be able to not understand it. I mean, think about that for a minute. My dad used to have a saying. He said, that guy had to go to college. He couldn't have got that stupid on his own. But... And wait a minute, I went to college and he was telling me that. But anyway, here's in Article 1 of the United States Constitution, okay? Article 1, Section 10, it's the last section, and in the last paragraph, it says, "No state shall, without consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into an agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage of war," and then it says this, "unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay." Now, catch what he said there, "unless actually invaded." Now, you can't be invaded. A state cannot be invaded unless there's a border and people are coming across that border illegally. And, you know, we're sitting here today where we are seeing thousands of people a day come pouring across our border. And that's where Texas has been mobilizing their National Guard, the Texas Rangers and county sheriffs and things like that, to defend against the invasion that the federal government is not protecting them against. Because they said in Article 1, Section 10, that they have the right if they're invaded or in such imminent danger. And they say, we're being invaded. Let me give you another from Article 4. Section 4. Article 4, Section 4 says this: the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion.
Oh, okay.
Well, you have to have borders, or how do you know if you're being invaded? So, you know, the federal government is required by the United States Constitution in Article 4, Section 4, to protect the states against invasion. And Article 1, Section 10 says that if a state feels that it's being invaded, they have the right to defend themselves and not wait on the federal government. Because that's what it said, unless actually invaded or such imminent danger as will not admit of delay.
So what Texas is doing is actually, according to the Constitution, to listen to Biden and company, you'd think that they were breaking laws. Of course, Biden himself is breaking the law.
Yeah.
But I guess this would show how Romans 13:1 is applied. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So the Constitution is basically
it's a higher power than the president.
Power, yeah.
In fact, the oath of office for the president, which is in the Constitution, and let me see if I can see that real quick. I'm just thumbing through here. This is in Article 2 and Section 1. At the end of Section 1, it gives the actual oath that the president is required to take. Now, it's kind of interesting. When I went into the United States Air Force, I had to take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I work as a poll worker during the elections, and during when you go to work as a poll worker, you take an oath to defend the Constitution. If you get elected to be mayor, town council, or a commissioner, county commissioner, or whatever, you have to take an oath to defend the Constitution, and the oaths are basically sort of derived and based on the oath that's in the Constitution that's required for the president. And this is what it says. Okay. It says this: before he, meaning the president, enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation. And here it is. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, and will do to the best of my ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, he is subject to the Constitution of the United States. The Supreme Court is subject to the Constitution of the United States. The U.S. House and the U.S. Senate are subject to the Constitution of the United States. As a Christian, we're subject to the government over us, and because we live here in the United States of America, we're subject also to the Constitution as superior over the state, over the federal government. When I was in the Air Force, we had to study the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which talked about obeying lawful orders and our responsibility to disobey unlawful orders. And the reason was because we were answerable to the Constitution of the United States of America. So I had my chain of command. We had a command. I had my supervisor, and then we had the up to our commander of our unit. And then our commander, he was commander of the 59th 50th Electronic Security Wing or Group. And then we were under the Electronic Security Wing of Europe, as that's where our headquarters was. I think it was at Ramstein, maybe. No, not Ramstein. It's been a while. It's been since the 1980s. So I can't remember exactly where it was. But and then they were subject to because it was a command, the Electronic Security Command. And then the Electronic Security Command was subject to the Secretary of the Air Force and the Chief of the Air, the Chief Officer General in charge of the Air Force, and they were subject to the President of the United States as the Chief Commander in Chief of the Armed Forces, and then the President of the United States was subject to the Constitution. But see, as a Christian, mm-hmm. we take it a step further. We are subject to all of those things, but remember in Romans 12 13, he talked about the higher powers. When the lower powers are lined up with the higher powers, we have no problem. But when the higher powers the lower powers are not lined up with the higher powers, we have to go with the higher powers. And so I go with the Constitution, but if the Constitution should go against the Bible, as a Christian, I have to go with the Bible because my higher power comes from God, not man. So like the disciples said when they were told and commanded not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus, they said, it's better to obey God rather than men. And they disobeyed the legitimate authority over them, human authority, because they followed the higher powers, which was God, who told them to go into all the world. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And and he told them to preach and teach and baptize in his name. So I follow the higher powers. And when the lower powers line up with the higher powers, you have no problem. But when the lower powers get out of sync with the higher powers, there's a problem. And the minister of government, the government official, is called in there in Romans 13, a minister of God. But he's supposed to execute God's will. And so when he doesn't execute God's will, he's going to be answerable to God. So, borders are absolutely in the Bible. And we see human government in the Bible. But there's a hierarchy of powers. Just like I had to obey lawful orders as a member of the United States Air Force and disobey unlawful orders as a Christian, I'm to obey lawful commands and disobey unlawful commands in regards to do they line up with what God has to say or not.
Well, thank you for explaining that so well. And it's just so disappointing to see all of the way Biden has conducted himself. I just think of Isaiah 5:20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil.
Oh,
I mean, he has everything backward. And certainly that the borders is just doing so much harm. I mean, we could go on and on about all the harm it's done. But thank you for making it very clear that borders are in the Bible. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Have a blessed evening.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
So thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that call tonight. And we are coming up on a break here. And we've got another caller who will wait, I think we'll pick up Terry after the break because I don't think we have enough time to get to him before that. But again, let me reiterate, you have to obey government. But you cannot say, well, government told me to do something that's unscriptural, and so therefore I'm going to obey them because I have to obey man. I've got to be subject to the powers. Well, yeah, as long as they line up with Christ, with the Bible. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason, for instance, that totalitarian governments hate the Bible and hate Christians. We were talking at church this morning about the difference between toleration and liberty. Excuse me. In China, communist China, they had tolerated Christians for a time, but now they're cracking down on them and destroying churches and all that. See, under Mao and all that, they cracked down on churches, they destroyed churches, and they tried to stamp out Christianity. And then they allowed a certain level of Christianity to come back, and by the 1990s, early 2000s, churches were becoming more open, underground churches were coming out in the open, building buildings, putting steeples on them, and the Chinese Communist government tolerated them. They did not have liberty, they had toleration. And now, under President Xi, the Chinese Communist Party has said to the churches, you know what? You need to stop preaching and teaching certain things. And you need to change your Bible to reflect the Communist Chinese Party goals and philosophies and ideals. And you need, and they start dictating. And the churches that would not go along with that, guess what? Toleration came to an end. They began destroying them. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union days, the Soviets did the same thing in Russia. They tolerated some churches. But when they got out of line, they destroyed them. They crushed them. That's what toleration is. Liberty, which we have enshrined in our Constitution, is when you're free to believe or not believe as you feel convicted. Stay tuned, we got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible, you can give us a call, or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can listen to past programs. You can read some of the articles that I have there that I've written on a variety of subjects. You can see some other things that we have on there, find out what some of our social media are that we're on. And you can follow us on Facebook or True Social or MeWe or Getter or any of these other ones that we have on there. And Telegram, we have a Telegram channel as well. And put a number of things on there, sometimes several times a day, sometimes only several times a week, but it just depends on what I'm doing, what I'm looking at. And so you'll see things on there from time to time. And then, of course, I do put some of those things on the webpage. It just takes a little longer to do that. And so check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. Also linked to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That's our main sponsor. It's where I am the pastor, and certainly invite you to visit us there. And we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, which is right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And if you are wanting to get in, perhaps into the pizza business yourself, maybe open up your own restaurant, or maybe you have a restaurant and you want a great pizza that you can add to your lineup, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And talk to Gus. Tell him that you heard about him here on Live with Pastor Al. He can help you get set up with your own pizza business, and he'll help you get started. It's not a franchise, be your own business. Add it to your own restaurant, however you want to do it. You talk with Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. He'll help you get set up there. But check him out. If you want a good pizza, check out East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, 216-341-9100.
All not right. Just pizza either.
Oh, that's true. I should point that out.
I stopped in on last Monday.
Oh, good.
And I wanted to try something else. I ended up going with wings and cheesy bread.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I only talk about the pizza because that's all I eat there. But I Baba Ghanoush, if people know what that is, it's an eggplant, garlicky eggplant thing. It's sort of a Middle Eastern dish.
Okay.
had that there. It was fantastic. He's got Lebanese food. And thanks for interjecting that. I appreciate that. I usually concentrate on the pizza because that's mostly what I eat.
And that's the speciality. But with the menu as much as that he has on it, I was looking at that the other day. I'm like, I've got to try something besides the pizza. I know the pizza's good. Let me try something else. Wings were awesome. The cheesy bread was great. Now I've got to go down the list. I've got to go down and try more stuff on the menu now.
Try some of the Lebanese specialties that he's got there.
So, I don't know if that's up my alley.
Some of it's good. You know, when you travel around the world or around the country.
I don't travel.
But I mean, it's even just
and I
traveling.
I don't try new things,
you
know, either.
Let me tell you, if you live in the Cleveland area and even the Akron area, we are blessed with foodstuffs that other people in the world don't know. And we got a caller call I get to in just a second here. Mm-hmm. But think about this. When I was growing up, I took kielbasa and bratwurst and stuff like that for granted. I thought everybody knew about kielbasa.
Yeah.
When I got married, my wife is from Northern Kentucky. She knew about bratwurst because there's a strong German population. But I got married. She was up here. I said, oh, let's have some kielbasa. She's like, kielbasa, what's that?
Wow.
She had never had kielbasa. Wow. She didn't even know what it was.
Wow.
And when I went to college in Colorado, Fort Collins is where Colorado State's located. And so I'm put there in college with people from Texas, from Colorado, from Arizona, from different places. And I would talk, at the time, I didn't know anything about Mexican food much because I don't even know if Taco Bell was much in this area. This is, we're talking, when I went out there was 1979, I think it was.
Okay, yeah, I was two.
Yeah, so dating myself here, I guess, but we didn't have Taco Bell. And in fact, when I was growing up, there was this great little ice cream place in Montrose, at Route 18 and Cleveland Massillon Road, called Dairy Delight, I think it was, or something like that. They had a giant ice cream cone. And I never liked Taco Bell because when they started building up the Montrose area, which is, you know, kind of the west side of Akron, west and just outside of Akron and Fairlawn, Copley, Bath area, and they got rid of the ice cream place and put in a Taco Bell.
It soured you from the get-go.
It was decades, literally over 20 years before I ever had anything from that Taco Bell. It's just they got rid of the, at least they could have kept the giant ice cream cone up there as a homage to the area or something.
Yeah, but that would have just been stabbing you in the heart every time
you drove by anyways. Yeah. So, you know, you didn't have all the great Mexican restaurants around that you do now. And I would read and you would read and you'd talk, you'd see where they would get Chinese takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always think, man, that seems so neat, but I didn't know anywhere. So I grew up in Richfield, and I didn't know anywhere you get Chinese takeout. When I was a kid growing up, we didn't have McDonald's or any of that in Richfield. If you wanted a hamburger, you had to go one of the there were several bars in the area, and they had bar food.
Yeah.
And they would make burgers and wrap them up in wax paper, and somebody could go in and pick them up. And that was we had to go down to Fairlawn to the Red Barn. That was
how were the burgers?
What's that?
How were the burgers?
Usually greasy.
That's
some of them were pretty good.
That's a good burger.
They were good. And if you went further afield down into Akron, you could find a McDonald's. It was one of those old ones that had the original arches still. Mm-hmm. And or you had to come up Broadview up into Seven Hills. And I'm trying to think if there was a McDonald's up there. There was something up there. But, I mean, you had to actually go somewhere to find fast food. They didn't have any of it around and all that. But and so in spite of all that, I didn't know much about Mexican food or Asian food. But when I got out there and I was telling people about eating kielbasa and punchkis.
Punchkis.
Oh, people had no clue what that was. Pierogies. People had no clue what that stuff was. Oh, man. And I'm talking about all this kind of Polish and Central European foods. And
give me flashbacks to Sunday lunches at my grandma's.
Whew. And I was telling people about that. But people looked at me funny, you know. But then I learned that wherever I've traveled, you know, the ability that God has given people to take local ingredients and foods and mix them together and come up with incredible things to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say I remember where I've traveled by what I ate, and so you know you travel down south and you get barbecue.
See, that's the thing too. It's like a lot of people they go on vacation and then they're going to Applebee's or they're going to some chain restaurant.
You've got to try some
of the local places.
But you know, when I first went down south first time, I thought barbecue was like, you know, you grill some hamburgers out on the grill and maybe squirt some barbecue sauce. Then I realized, no, that's not barbecue. It's, you know, you pull the pork or brisket or something and slather on the sauce, and then you go one place. And
we're going to have to stop. My stomach's grumbling.
I know. But I was just going to say, you go one place, I remember, and they would put coleslaw on it automatically, which I loved. My wife hates coleslaw.
I'm not a fan.
Then you go to another place, and because you were just at some place where it had coleslaw on it, you would say, and no coleslaw. And they'd look at you funny like, why would you put coleslaw on barbecue? That's because the last state we were in, that's what they did. But being stationed in England when I was in the Air Force, we used to joke that you could find just about any food but British food. Yeah, you had everything. I had Turkish food. I had Indian food. I had Pakistani food. I had, you know, German food. I had French. I had all kinds of stuff. And, you know, finally did, you know, they did have, you know, the fish and chips and things like that. But Just if you travel and you don't go out and try the local foods. Now, there's some. I kind of draw the line at haggis going up to Scotland.
And, yeah, I don't know about that.
Not in one haggis. And there's certain other foods that I kind of draw the line. What is that one in the Philippines? I didn't get to the Philippines, but they warned me about it. It begins with a B, baluk or something like that.
I have no idea.
You take a duck egg and you get it incubated till it's about ready to hatch, and then you boil it. And
I guarantee I will never try that.
No, not me. Not me. I'm not going to eat that. So certain things I kind of draw the line, but I generally taste just about anything because it gives you a feel for, you know, all the things that God created.
Yeah, see, I know what I like, and I stick with what I like. I'm one of those. I don't try new things. I really don't.
Love to try new things.
I love pizza. I love burgers. I love chicken. I like steak. I'm good to go with that.
There you go.
As long as one of those four are available, I'm good.
Well, you know, I saw it, and we'll have to get to Terry here, but I saw something online said that some researchers, agriculture researchers, have come up with a bio-friendly means of converting grasses into a great-tasting meat-like protein substance.
No.
It's called cow.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can do
cow.
That.
It produces great steaks.
Yes, yeah. It does.
Yes, at any rate. Well, enough about food, I suppose.
I'm so hungry now.
See, you distracted me there.
That's sorry. All.
That's quite okay. That's quite okay. Terry, sorry for the delay. Have we made you hungry yet?
All I can think about right now is food.
Do you have a unique food where you're at up there in Canada?
Elk.
What's that?
Do you have any elk? Do you have a unique food in where you're at in Canada?
Not really.
I was hearing somebody on the radio talking about going into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where they call themselves, what is it, Upers, I think it is, and they have a something pasty, and it's kind of like the Cornish pasty that I used to get in England. And the guy was talking, oh, you're making that up. You're making that up. It was like a meat pie, it was popular in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So you get these regional things. That's what I thought. Maybe where you're up there in Canada, you might have a regional food there that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I never really took much thought in it.
Sometimes you're used to it, and you don't realize that nobody else, like when I went out to Colorado, I didn't know they didn't know about pierogies and kielbasa and things. But,
My favorite fast food restaurant would be Wendy's.
Well, see, Wendy's, I can let you know, that's Ohio's secret effort to take over the world. I mean, it came out of Columbus, Ohio, and no, it's, but yeah, Wendy's isn't bad. Wendy's isn't bad, but I like to try to find some local kind of family restaurant diner type thing, because you can find the most amazing foods. My wife and I found a place by accident down somewhere. We were either in Georgia or South Carolina. The road kept going back and forth between the two states. It might have been even North Carolina. And it was just like a wide spot on the side of the mountain. And that place had the absolute, I think, best barbecue that I think I've ever had in my life. I could probably never find it again, but it was excellent. But anyway, back to you, Terry, to your call.
I was thinking about that Borodine. What was that show that used to be on CNN, that guy that used to travel the world and committed suicide?
Don't know.
Anthony Bourdain, I think it was.
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to like watching that show. I thought that was
it. Now, I have seen clips. I've not really had cable, so not the same thing. I just too cheap to buy it. So I would, and then I would have probably wanted to watch stuff just because to get my money's worth. And so, especially now with smart TVs and stuff like that, I don't really see any need for it. Stuff on the internet, I see everything I want. But I have seen some of those programs where they go around the world. Some of those guys are a little more daring, I think, than I would be. But I'm willing to try most anything at least once. At least once. I might not want to eat it again, but
that's too bad that guy committed suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know a whole lot about him myself, but
But anyway, we're celebrating our 157th year Canadian birthday today.
Oh, that's right. I forgot because it's very close to the United States birthday. Just a few days away. And so we'll...
4th of July, right?
Yeah, 4th of July for us. And, of course, it's the 30th of June for Canada. And what is it, Canada Day?
Canada Day, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad you mentioned that because I had kind of forgot about it. But, yeah, Canada Day. So,
you might hear a few firecrackers in the background. But
yeah, well... And well, again, yeah, what would we say? Congratulations and happy Canada Day. So I appreciate
and
that.
And happy birthday to you guys, too.
Yes. So
4th of July.
Yes.
Fourth of July.
Coming up.
What day would that be?
That's Thursday. This is Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watch every time the State of the Union is on, I watch all that. I watch mm-hmm. All of your presidential debates, and I've been doing that for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm a Canadian, I've always had an interest in what's going on in the United States.
Well, and the two economies between Canada and the United States are so intertwined with each other. If I'm not mistaken, United States, the largest trading partner for Canada. Canada's United is, I think, the largest trading partner for United States in many things. And so, very, very closely connected. And also from a military security standpoint, we're extremely closely connected. The North American Defense and NORAD network, Canada and the United States during the Cold War, remember what they had? They called it the Dew Line. There was a series of radar sites to watch for incoming attack from the Soviet Union, and they were strung across to Alaska and Canada and different places, to catch if Russia tried to lob a missile over the pole, over the North Pole. So...
Yeah, and if Canada's got your back, and the Americans have our back,
and you know another thing too, just recently, of course, was the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, and they had some big celebrations and stuff, and commemorations at Normandy and all. But if I remember correctly, in World War II, and I think World War I as well, on a per capita basis, Canada lost more young men than any of the Allied countries.
Yeah. So, that was just quite the war, especially in World War One. World War One, if you remember.
Yeah, World War One and World War Two, both, I believe, Canada lost on a per capita basis lost the most young men. Mm-hmm. So Canada has definitely paid a price to be able to preserve freedom around the world. And so, as an American, I certainly salute Canada for that.
And we salute you guys as well.
Yeah. So, okay. See, we're having our own international peace, whatever here, bi-national, how would you call that? Bicarmel, something, thing. But at any rate, we'll get back to the Bible here, I guess. But
one of the questions that they asked was, well, did they ask much about global warming and climate changes?
It was brought up a little bit in the presidential debate.
Yes.
It was brought up a little bit, but not as much as I expected. I'm trying to think what we had there. I think there was one spot. I have some clips I'm going to play probably in the second half of the program tonight. One of them might touch on it briefly, but it wasn't really as prominent as I thought it might be. So, but you know, of course, there's this idea that Donald Trump is killing the environment. What was it? Remember Greta Thunberg or whatever her name is, who said that in 5 years the planet, the human beings are going to be extinct. I think we're going on 6 or 7 years now since she said that. And Prince Charles, now King Charles, What was it, about 20 years ago that he said in 12 years, if we don't act in 12 years, we're going to see a mass die-off of human beings because of global warming. We seem to miss that as well.
And the question is what are we fighting? People say it's gas, right? Or gas, fuel, oil.
Well,
all that stuff that's causing global warming. Like, what's
I can tell you what's causing global warming very easily. If you go out in the middle of the day and look up and you see this bright object in the sky that you can't stare at because it hurts your eyes, there's the source of global warming. It's right there. And if you notice, in the wintertime, it's lower in the horizon, and it gets cool. And as it approaches spring, and it starts to go higher up in the sky, and in the summer it gets higher in the sky, guess what? It gets warm. That's because that's what happens.
And didn't President Trump, when he ran for president the last time, didn't he call it all a hoax?
Well, and it is essentially, and let me give you an example. The guy that invented, had the famous hockey stick thing. I'm trying to think who it was. But there was a show called In Search Of, I believe, with Leonard Nimoy as the narrator and the host. And in around about 76, he did a program where they featured this climatologist on a glacier, and I think it was off the coast of Canada, north of Newfoundland, up in that area somewhere, or it might have been Greenland. But wherever he was in that part of the world, and he's standing on this glacier saying that the global ice age may have already begun and it's too late to stop it. And Leonard Nimoy narrating, showing all these pictures of the severe winters that we were having back in the late 70s, mid to late 70s, and talking about how it may have already begun and there may be nothing we can do to stop it, but we need to raise taxes. You know, that's as they go through the whole litany. You had to raise taxes, cut back on your energy consumption, all that, to fight the ice age that's coming. Well, the ice age never came. The same scientist that in that episode of In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy that was standing on the glacier saying that it may have already started the ice age and it may be irreversible, now is one of the prominent ones saying the earth is going to get too warm and the ice is all going to melt and we're all going to be flooded and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, the people who are telling you that the world, the coasts are going to be flooded in just a couple of years, like the Obamas, are buying huge mansions right on the Gulf or on the coast. Maybe they don't really believe it themselves. But we can see in history warming and cooling trends all the time. Right. And,
this has probably been going on ever since the beginning.
It has. It has. And in reality, there's some interesting scientific studies that have been done by Bible-believing geologists and climatologists and things like that who believe that after Noah's flood, that the Earth has been going between warming and cooling cycles, trying to get back to a type of equilibrium, because they believe that prior to the flood, the Earth would have been essentially a tropical to semi-tropical environment over the entirety of the planet, including North and South Poles. And, you know, there's evidence of it. We know there's fossilized plants in Antarctica, and people drilling for oil up in north of Alaska and all have drilled down through tree trunks, petrified tree trunks in the tundra that have been there where there's no trees today. Hey, we've got a break coming up. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
During the Cold War, pictures depicting Jesus Christ in workman's coveralls holding a hammer and sickle crossed over his chest were circulated throughout Latin America, promoting liberation theology by proclaiming Jesus was a communist. Liberation theology, birthed in the bowels of the KGB headquarters in Moscow, was an effort to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. At the same time, communists and their leftist sympathizers infiltrated Christian seminaries and churches throughout North America and Europe. Again, the goal was to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. Today, we see the fruit of those efforts. Churches that should be sounding the alarm against communism are either silent or promoting it. God says, come out from among them. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders are sounding the alarm.